How many kids have chores? How many teenagers have chores? Everyday chores. Raise your hand. Come on, come on, come on. If you don't have them, raise them anyway. It'll make your parents look good. Okay. That's my grandkids. I said, do y'all have chores? And they looked at me and went, I said, oh man, we got to do something here. Chores are amazing. Chores are amazing, and you have these things, and you realize, wow, we have to keep everything doing. And you have chores, and you say, what's God doing here? And you're realizing you do things. You clean up your room. You make the bed. You pick up things. You walk the dog, and all of that. And you have all these chores. Let me see if I can get the pen here. You have all these chores here to make this happen, and you do all of these things. And then you get rewards here. And when you get 50 points, you go out for ice cream. When you get 10 points, you have an extra TV show. You get rewarded. And these are your tasks you're doing, and you're making it happen. And these are the rewards that are happening. You know, God has a plan for us too. God has a plan for us, and it is set up that we make certain that we take things seriously. Why do we sacrifice our time playing in our games and all of that to stop and clean up or stop and do our chores? Why do we do that? Because we love our parents? No. Usually for the reward as kids. Or fear of not having a reward. That's it. Why do you sacrifice? We're put on this earth. We're put in this earth. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Everybody turn. We got a lot of passages this morning. Get your Bible out. We're going to be rolling here. Why do we do this? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Why? Because of all He has done for you. All the love, all the grace, all the mercy, all the peace that He's done for you. That's why you serve God, huh? That's why you're driven. You're driven to present your body a living sacrifice. It says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable according to the Word of God. This is truly the way to worship God. Why do we sacrifice on this earth? We sacrifice our own stuff to do God's stuff. Why would you do that? Why do you become a living sacrifice? Knowing God, loving God, fearing God, obeying God, serving God, worshiping God, enjoying God. And that just leads you to knowing more so you can start serving Him more and fearing Him more and loving Him more and obeying Him more. I enjoyed the song service too much. I'm going to get hoarse again. Wasn't that great? Those great songs. I enjoyed those. Why do we do that? I trust you know why. Why do you sacrifice? We're told to sacrifice. We're told to deny ourselves. Is that what it says? Take up your cross. Oh, it's heavy. It's heavy. It's heavy. It's my trouble. We each of us have different crosses. Is that right? Take up a cross and get in step with Jesus. Follow Jesus. Obey Jesus. Enjoy Jesus. Walk through life bearing your cross. Why do we do that? Because He has done so much for us. That's why we do it. We love Him because He first loved us. Why do we do it? That's why we do it. If we would catch it, kids and teenagers, you obey your parents. One day you will realize the value of obeying your parents. Might not see it today. And I trust you have good parents. If you don't have good parents, bring them to me and I'll deal with them. Okay. Did God expect you to have a good father? He did, because He called Himself what? Father. He expected that. And if you don't have a good father, you got all kinds of them around here, and a good mother. Is that right? There's all kinds of them around here. Get you a good one. If yours have forsaken you, and there's kids and teens and young adults that their parents have forsaken them, I can't make that happen. But that's one reason you have a church. You got all kinds of them. When we moved here, as I showed pictures last week, we didn't have all the grandparents here. And we got some grandparents here. We just adopted some. And if you don't have a good father or mother, look around, adopt one. Ask them to give you an allowance. It's important. It's important. I'm going to move on. Why do we sacrifice? Why do we give up living for ourselves? It's all about me. It's all for me. It's me for me, you for me. And I'm going to try to get as much as I can. And that's what life is all about. That's not what life's all about. We're put on this earth to be His slave, to show this lost world, selfish world, that Jesus is alive. That's why we're here. And each of us will do it a little differently. Don't compare, compete. Don't try to outdo. Don't try to judge others not doing it the way you're doing it. Each of us will do it differently. But why do we sacrifice? We're just a little part. Put the next picture up. We're just a little part. You can't see, but this is the cross here, and these are going to be red. We're right here. We're right here. Put that one up. We're right here, and we're in the church age, and it's very important that we realize this is where we're at, and we're serving God. We're sacrificing for God. We're living for Him. Why? Because one day we're going to be raptured. Amen? We're going to be raptured and go to heaven. We're on earth now, and we sacrifice. We get made fun of. We get rejected because we believe in Jesus, and we do right, and the world's doing wrong, and they think we're crazy, and why would we sacrifice all that when you can have all the fun down here? No, I'm waiting to have fun up here, and we're going to be raptured one day, and then we're going to be with Jesus forever, and it's wonderful to have that, and the tribulation time here, and then we're going to be in the millennium, put that one up, and we realize that we're going to have a 1,000-year millennium of reigning and ruling with Christ, and we might not have it good at here, but we are going to have it good here. Amen? And that's wonderful. And we're not going to be here. Put that one up. This is the great white throne judgment. That's for all unbelievers. Every unbeliever of all the ages will stand before God here and be judged, and they'll be showing that they're a sinner, and He tried to reach them here, 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 and this person, and they're going to all admit that they rejected Christ. They went against God. They did not believe, and He's going to cast them in hell, and they all deserve it, and they're all going to know it. It's going to be a terrible time forever, forever in hell. And we're going to go to heaven. Put that one up. We're going to go to heaven forever, and we might have it tough here, but we're going to go up here and come down here and serve Him the 1,000 years and then go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we sacrifice everything. Because all He's done for us. He's done all this stuff for us. There's one point that sometimes we don't talk about. So I'll talk this right here. Put that up. It's called the Believer's Judgment in Heaven, the Bema Seat. Put this pin up right here. It says, this is not a judgment of your salvation. To get to this judgment, the Beamer judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, you have to be a saved person. Huh? Your salvation's always secure. Amen? If you're not saved, you go to this judgment. But if you're saved, you go to this judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. And it is not a judgment of your salvation. That's all been paid for at Calvary. You're saved forever, for sure, forgiven. But it is your service that's judged, or the lack of it. And that is something that you don't want to be right there. And you say, wow, the lack of it. And you realize that. Let's all turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start with verse 14. I want you to think about this. This is the parable Jesus is speaking. Matthew 25, verse 14. This is the parable that Jesus is speaking, and He is here, and He is talking about that, and we need to look at it very, very carefully, because that's very important. And He's going to show who's rewarded and who's not rewarded. I want you to find yourself in this parable, because you're somewhere in it. Eric, come and read it for us, please. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 30.
Please follow along with me as I read the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.
Amen.
He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
What a parable, huh? What a parable. Hope you find yourself in this parable someplace. Note there were 2 people, there was 3 different people. One was given 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Note in verse 15, each according to his ability. Have we all been given different talents? Talk to me. Don't compare, don't compete. Well, I'm no Billy Graham. Well, there's only 1 Billy Graham, okay? And who much is given what? Much is required. You have your influence of people, and you have your world, and that's what you are given. And one was given 5, and the one was given 2, and the one was given 1. If the one with 1 would have had brought 1 back, would he have got the same reward? Yes. If the one at 2 got 4, got the same reward as the one at 5 with 10. Is that right? Note that God's looking for good and faithful people. He's not looking for superstars. He's not comparing, well, this person has saved this many people, or this person influenced this great number. No. Each of you have a calling. Is that right? Each of you have a field of influence of people. And at your workplace, or your neighbors, or your kids doing sport events, or you doing sport events, your hobbies. Do you have a world of influence? You do. That's your world. And some are bigger than others. Don't even compare or compete with that statement. Because if the guy with 1 would have brought 2, he would have had the great reward. And the guy with 2 brought 4, and the guy with 5 brought 5 more, 10, and they all got the same reward. Note it's exact word, it's a word for word. Verse 21 and verse 23 are word for word. Well done, good and faithful. Note it doesn't say good and successful servant, all servants of Christ. You have been faithful over a little. Catch that. When we stand before God, is anybody going to stand with their chest out and say, I did all kinds of stuff for you? None of us are going to. All of us are going to say, oh. And he's going to say, well done. You're going to go, really? You know, none of us think we do enough. That's a good thought. That's humble. Stay humble. But then press on. People. Our church lost power yesterday. I hate it when a church loses power. A church ought to have power, huh? Power. One guy said church was on fire, and one of the neighbors came and was throwing water on the fire, and the preacher come out and says, "Wow, we've never seen you here before." And he says, "Well, I've never saw the church on fire either." I don't like it when the power goes out. It reminds me of, if the Spirit would leave this place, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Power's out yesterday. I drove down the street trying to see if someone has reported it and seeing how it was doing, seeing when it was going to come back on and all that. And I drove down, and one of the neighbors down the street here, I didn't know him. I saw him opening his garage door. You know, he was doing it manually. And I drove in, tooted my horn. He came out, and I met him there, and we talked a few, and seeing have you called the power company? You know, when's it going to come back on? All that good stuff. As we were talking, he said, "Where are you from?" Now, let me tell you, I do not think I have a dialect. Y'all might think that, but I don't. I said, "Well, I'm from West Virginia." He said, "So am I." I'm sitting there going, "Wow." I said, "Well, I'm from Charleston." He told me some little burg he was from, and I knew about it. And I said, "Wow." And then I just started talking to him about church and all of that. And to make it short, he just said, "Hey, you might see me at church." He used the word, "I might just mosey over there." Now, that sounded very normal to me. God's in stuff, huh? God's in stuff. I didn't like the power off, but God led me to a person. I wouldn't have gone and seen that person, huh? I would have driven past like I do all the time. But I stopped and pulled in. He could have not come to the door. Is that right? Would you come to the door, see somebody like me standing at the door? No. You're sitting there going, God's in it. And you realize God gives each of us different opportunities. Be faithful. Is that right? Why? Because of what He's done for you. That's heavy there. And the other guy down in verse 26, he was a slothful servant. Verse 27, you ought to have done this. You know, we need to give God, our service. Question comes, why would God reward us? Why would God reward us? I want you to know the rewards are for service, okay, that you give to God. You're serving, you're serving, you're giving, you're caring, all the things that we do, you're suffering, you're mentoring. You'll get rewarded for that. Why do we need rewards? The rewards are not for us to go. You know, God, you're lucky to have me. No. Who are the rewards for? God. For you to have something in your hand. He's given you eternal life. He's given you heaven. He's given you everything. And you get to give Him back some stuff. Is that right? I served, I cared, I gave, I suffered, I mentored, I gave Him my time here and my energy. And I tried to serve you, God, to this person, this organization, this ministry. I sacrificed myself for this. Huh? Why do you have it? So you can give it back to Him. So you can worship Him. So you can honor Him. That's what the rewards are for. They're not selfish. They're all Godward. You did this for me. I love you so much, I'm going to do this back to you. That's why you have rewards. Don't think of them as something, well, I'm doing this to get a reward in heaven. No, usually the stuff you do to get a reward in heaven isn't too popular, isn't too fun. And we hold a messed up world, everybody has to have fun. No, we got to be holy and try to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus. That's our task. That's why we're here. That is so important that we give back. Romans chapter 14. Everybody turn to Romans chapter 14. There's a lot of verses I'm going to hit real quick here. Let me just give you, as you're turning to Romans 14, let me give you 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. It's on the screen here. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Is that pretty plain? How many people are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? Every Christian. Every Christian. Oh, I don't want to be there. Well, you better prepare yourself. The judgment seat of Christ is the Greek word for bema, the bema seat, the judgment seat. And we need to be bema ready. Okay? Bema, be ready. Okay? For we, it's on the screen here, for we, I trust you're in Romans 14, 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due, the crowns, the rewards, for what he has done, his service in the body with his physical, speaking, helping, caring, giving, mentoring, whether it was good or whether it was evil, whether it was not done in the right heart attitude. Can you pray and be proud about it? Can you teach a class and be proud about it? Can you give and be proud about it? Can you help somebody and be proud about it? Okay, all of those things, God sees your heart. Now you got to do stuff and say stuff, but God sees your heart. And I love it because sometimes I attempt to do things and it doesn't go well. Ever try to bless your neighbor and it doesn't come out right? What good? And you try to backpedal and backpedal. Oh, I messed it up, man. God sees the heart. And you're going to get judged and rewarded for everything. And then verse 11, it says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men." Yeah, I need to do it because I love Him, but also I need to do it because I fear Him. Because the opposite side of love is fear. And I loved my parents, but I feared my parents. And was it a healthy fear? Yeah, yeah. And there's a healthy fear of God. You're not afraid of Him and hiding from Him, no. But you respect Him and you want His smile and you don't want to disappoint Him and you don't want to get to heaven and not have rewards to give to Him and lack rewards. Woo! Woo! Matthew, Romans chapter 14, I trust you're there, verse 10. "Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother?" Don't do those things. "For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. As it is written, 'As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God,'" from Isaiah 49 and 45. "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Is that pretty plain? Wow. That's like going to school and having tests. It's going to be a judgment day. It's going to be a test day, an exam. Our whole life, we're going to get judged for our service, for our caring, for our giving, for our suffering, for our mentoring. There's crowns. Let me just hit the crowns here. Put the crowns up. There's five crowns in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 2, 9, 19. This is like the soul winner's crown. 2 Timothy 4, 8. This is those that love His return. We're going to hit that one. 1 Peter 5, 4. This is the preachers and teachers and mentors and disciplers' crown. This is 1 Corinthians 9. This is for the ones that run the race well, the faithful. And then the crown of life, Revelation 2, 10. This is for those that are faithful and sacrificed their life and gave sacrifice to God, surrender to God, denying their self, take up their cross and follow. These are the five crowns in the Bible. Now this is not a complete list. These are only the five that's listed. There's many more. You get these crowns and you have something to give back to God as you worship Him the rest of your existence. Don't come empty-handed. And the more crowns you have, the more you can bless God. It's not a selfish thing. Not a selfish thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Everybody turn there. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. This is a heavy text. These are a text here, Romans chapter 14. It says, each of us must give an account of himself to God before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, it says we're all going to appear for the judgment and to see what we've done, get crowns for what we've done, whether it be good or evil. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, I trust you're there. It says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned each. Now, I want you to rest there a little bit, because do each of us have a different calling? Don't compare. Boy, I wish I could teach like this person, or I wish I could pray like this person. I wish I could talk to a telephone pole like this person. Some of us are shy. Is that right? Some of us say, you know, did God make you like you?
Amen.
So be you. If you're shy, be shy for God. You'll be more particular. Now, we got to speak out still. If you're a talkative person, you might say too much stupid stuff. Okay? You know, you got to, if you're gifted in a certain task, use it for God. If you're good at golf, Pastor Kyle plays golf, I pray that when he plays golf that he wins. My prayers aren't answered too much. Because when you play somebody in a sports and you beat them, that gives you more of an influence. Is that right? It does. Notice I don't play golf. The prayers wouldn't be answered. You do, if your hobby is anything, woodworking, you know, whatever your hobby is, whatever you do, do it for the glory of what? God. And you touch people. And we're here on this earth for touching people. That's the only reason we're here. Well, I like just blessing myself. Well, that's what the world does. And we're to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Is that right? Is it easy? No. Is it fun all the time? No. It's glorious. It's for Him. And one day I'm going to stand before God and give an account of everything. But each of us is different. Verse 6, First Corinthians 3:6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Note that. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything. We're nothing. But only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. Catch that. We're doing all together. But each will receive his wages, his reward, his crown, according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, your farmers. You are God's building, your carpenters. We're building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I lay a foundation, someone else is building upon it. We've had that here at our church. You know, this church has been here for a long time. This church began in 1931. Has someone done a lot of work to make us where we're at? Don't forget that. Young people, young adults, remember, you're here right now, but somebody did a lot of work back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. Is that right? I arrived at the church in the 80s. Okay? A lot of people had built before then. Is that right? And we're going to, and you ride, Pastor Kyle's here now, and we're all here right now, but it's built on a lot of people doing a lot of work in the past. Don't forget that. And you need all those people, and we need for the future. That's why we need new people, and we need our teenagers growing up and our young adults growing up and volunteering and keeping the work going. And that's what the church is all about. And he says, don't forget that. Each of us have different skills. Verse 10. According to the grace of God given unto me, like a skilled master builder, I have laid the foundation and someone else is building upon it. Here is a great phrase right here. Let each of us, take care how he builds. How's your giving? How's your serving? How's your caring, suffering, mentoring? What do you do? Who have you blessed? Who'd you bless yesterday? What did you do yesterday that counted for eternity? Ever think about that? When you go home every night, when you go to bed every night, you say, now who did I touch for God today? What did I do that God is marking in His book to bless that I denied myself, take up my cross and followed Him? What did I do? Who did I bless? Who did I help? Who did I care for? Who did I serve? Who did I mentor? What suffering did I have to endure? Huh? That's what gets you crowns and glory. Putting up with your mother-in-law, that gives you crowns and glory. That was a good joke. You know, you need to let each take care how he builds upon. For no one, verse 11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on a foundation of gold, silver, and precious stones, those things last forever. They do not burn up. They're done with the right attitude. They're serving, giving, caring for with the right attitude. And then wood, hay, and stubble, those are the wrong heart attitude. Those are done pridefully, selfishly, and they're going to not last. Each one's work, his giving, caring, sharing, suffering, mentoring, will become manifest. God's going to reveal it all. He knows all. He's going to make it known. For the day, the judgment seat of Christ will disclose it, because it is revealed by fire. The fire will test what sort of work each one has done, whether it had done in the right heart motive, done for God. If the work that anyone has done, has built on for the foundation survives, it survives the test of fire. It lasts. It was done rightfully with the right heart motive. He will receive a reward, a crown. If anyone's work is burned up, now catch this. Everybody catch this. Verse 14. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14. If it burns up, if you have nothing to give for God, if your service was foolish or you didn't do it, he will suffer loss. That's something you don't want to do, standing before the Almighty as a saved person. What are you going to give back? What have you done sacrificially, giving sacrificially, caring sacrificially, serving sacrificially, suffering sacrificially, mentoring? Huh? What have you done? Those are the things that you'll have, and you'll give them back to God. You'll suffer loss. I want you to look at the last phrase. Though he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire. You'll make it by the skin of your teeth. You're still going to heaven. You won't lose your salvation. Amen? But you lose your reward, and you don't have that to give to God. And you go, wow. I want you to know, this judgment seat of Christ is really going to happen. Are all of us going to stand there? If you're a Christian, you're going to stand there. If you're a non-Christian, you're not going to make it. You're going to do the great white throne judgment, and you're going to go to hell. But at least if you're a saved person, you're going to heaven. You got that, because he did it for you. Now, what have you done for him? That's the rewards. And I want you to take it serious. That drives me. Sometimes my love for him wanes, and my fear of God has to flip in gear and realize, Michael, you're going to stand for God today, bud. What'd you do for God today? You just did this for yourself. You did this for yourself. You did this for yourself. What'd you do for God today? It drives me. It drives me. I'm only on page one. Go to 2 John, or last one, 2 John verse chapter 1. Go to the second, okay, right there. Isn't it neat when you can just skip over to the last? That's cool. 2 John chapter 1. I'll just read it to you. Everybody, we're in close. Won't you close your Bibles and let's pray. Let's pray. I'm going to speak to you here. He wants us to be faithful. He doesn't want us to be successful. He didn't say, how many people did you win to Christ? How successful were you to getting people to church? Sometimes you try your best and it doesn't happen, but you tried your best. See, that's the reward. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. Let me read this text to you. 2 John 1, verse 4, it says, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in truth. It's the greatest thrill of a preacher. Just as we were commanded by the Father, verse 5, that we love one another, verse 6. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. Verse 8, watch yourself so that you may win a full reward. A full reward. The judgment seat of Christ is for believers only. You cannot lose your salvation. But oh, to not have a full reward, to not have something to give back to God, to worship Him forever, to say thank you, thank you, thank you. You did all of this for me. This is what I've done for you. It's little, but I did this for you. I tried my best every day to do something that counts for eternity. In sacrificial giving, sacrificial caring, sacrificial serving, sacrificial suffering, and sacrificial mentoring. I did these things. I volunteered here. I helped here. I cared here. I loved here. And I tried to touch my coworkers and tried to touch my family and touch my neighbors and touch the friends of my children's families. That's why we have coffee coming in November. That's why I'm working so diligently touching my neighbors here in September so that I can in November get them to come here and maybe hear coffee preach and get saved. Huh? I can't make it happen. But I gotta love them and care for them. Deny myself, take up a cross, and follow Jesus. The judgment seat of Christ needs to put the fear of God in you. We need to have the love of God to do it. But sometimes we get lazy, and then we need the fear of God to spur us back to the love of God, to do the service of God with the right heart attitude, so that we can be rewarded and have something to give back to God in worship forever. Preacher, I needed this message to fire me up to get giving, caring, serving, suffering, and mentoring people. I needed this message to deny myself, to take up my cross daily and follow Jesus. That's what I'm here. Who did I help to get to heaven today? Who did I care for? Who did I serve? Who did I love? Preacher, I needed this message to make me say every morning and every night, what am I going to do today that counts for eternity? I needed this message. Can I see your hand? I needed this message. I needed this message. I needed this marriage. My hands up. I needed this message. Wow. Do it. Receive that full reward. Aren't you glad He doesn't reward according to our hero-ness or our success? It's faithfulness. It's trying to serve God. Have that as your goal and desire every day. God, I'm going to try to touch people for your sake. Help me. Here we go. Here I go to work. Here I go to play. Here I go wherever. Preacher, include me in that prayer. I needed this sermon today. Can I see your hand? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. 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 Lord Jesus, touch everybody. Touch every Christian here. Because those are the ones going to be at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in their body, whether they be good or bad. Lord, help us to take that serious. Heaven's going to be great, but this is a part of heaven that we got to go through before we get to serving Him and everything. And we will serve Him and love Him and rule and reign with Him according to our sacrifice here in this time on earth. Lord, help us to not have suffer loss, but be our full reward. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, help them to come to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're not sure you're a Christian, not walking with God, you're not sure. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I made some professions way back, but man, today I'm not sure. Pray for me. I will not embarrass you. I just love to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, and man, I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Can I pray with you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I pray with you? Put your hand up until I see it. Balcony, side wings, main floor. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. I see that hand. You may put it down. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. If you would like for me to get you a person to talk to you right here, woman to woman, man to man, knowing you're saved today, we can make that happen. If not, I'll just continue to pray for you. But if you would like me to make that happen right now, just look up at me, not keep your head bowed, and I'll pray for you. Lord Jesus, touch every person in this room with the truth of the great white throne judgment for sinners and the judgment seat of Christ for believers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.